Central Coast locals would know of Camp Breakaway at San Remo. It's an incredible place, a place of wonderful joy for young people who may have a disability or respite for families who look after people with different issues in life that make life a bit hard for them. And there's a very interesting group at Camp Breakaway at the moment. It's hosting a group of people who deal and families who deal with Smith-Magenis syndrome, and the syndrome is actually named after Professor Ann Smith, who was one of the first to identify this genetic anomaly. And Professor Smith joins me on the line. Good to have you with us, Ann.
Good morning. Good morning, Scott.
How are things going there at Camp Breakaway? Before we get into what this syndrome's all about, what's happening there?
Okay, after a few days of preparation, the families have just arrived this morning, and so it's a very happening place. We have over 14 families who are here with their children and siblings. The children with Smith-Magenis syndrome are being cared for by one-on-one aides, and it's going to be a very busy weekend. In the midst of that, I'm also conducting the research clinic. This will be my seventh. Which allows families to have the opportunity to contribute to our understanding of this rare syndrome and gather data and follow many of these children we've followed over the past 13 years. So they're a very special population who are participating in my research.
And Professor Smith, you're a geneticist, aren't you, at from Maryland or Bethesda?
Right. Yes.
At the National Institute of Health. Located at Bethesda, very famous research facility. How did you find out about this previously unknown syndrome?
Well, I wasn't at the National Institutes of Health when I first found it. It was in the early 1980s when I was working as a genetic counselor at Denver Children's Hospital in Denver, Colorado, and I was asked to see a little boy on genetics consultation who had problems with his heart and a number of other problems. And we recommended a chromosome study, and it's actually the cytogenetic technician who called me excitedly and said there's something wrong with his chromosome 17. And within a short period of time, 6 months later, we had a second child who had similar features and also had the same chromosome abnormality. So I reported them at a genetics meeting in the United States, and it was at that meeting that Dr. Ellen McGinnis was very excited because she thought she also had a case. And that began our long-term collaboration in the early 80s that resulted in the publication in 1986 that really codified this new previously unrecognized chromosomal disorder. Obviously today, fast forward, we know a lot more than we knew then, and that's part of the aspects of research to understand the natural history of the condition that has occurred over the several years since I moved to the National Institutes of Health. We began that protocol in 2001.
And understanding the condition and identifying the condition, what impact has that had on helping people with the condition?
Well, I think because of the syndrome itself is characterized by a variety of congenital, behavioral, and cognitive issues, so all of the children have intellectual disability, but it's also associated with a very significant sleep disorder. And the sleep disorder has an unusual feature in that it's associated with an inverted circadian rhythm of melatonin. And because of the sleep disorder, it impacts the daytime function and behaviors. And I think for parents to finally have an answer for why their child is not sleeping at night or up early in the morning, and then also to understand that these behaviors have an underlying genetic cause can be very helpful to the family as opposed to their feeling very isolated and not knowing where to turn. So I think it does have a significant impact knowing the diagnosis.
Definitely. You know, that would have been an absolute godsend for parents to understand that inversion of circadian rhythms. I mean, that's an extraordinary thing. And can they then, along with the medical experts, design sort of treatments or protocols to cope with that?
Well, I think as we understand more of the sleep disturbance, we understand that these kids have a chronic sleep debt that they carry into the next day. And there are some management strategies that can benefit them, obviously, structuring their day and their sleep time, making accommodations to keep them safe, because they tend to be children when they're up at night roaming the bedroom or the house. So yeah, there's some other issues in that terms of management that we can talk about. Sometimes the use of melatonin replacement, and now there are some other medications that are being looked at that might help facilitate sleep, because if we can improve sleep, we probably can make an impact on the daytime function for these children.
It's marvelous what's happening, and I'm just looking online, some breakthroughs in this, the first clinics opening in Australia finally, and it's a very rare condition, but there are quite a few people nonetheless with it, I believe, in Australia.
Yes, I understand that there are probably at least 80 families. I've actually seen over 50 families here through Camp Breakaway. So that's a large cohort that we began in 2003 with the very first camp here at Camp Breakaway. And that was a very unique partnership of partnering, giving parents time for respite, but also to provide an opportunity for them to have a better understanding of the syndrome through the research efforts and through my participation at Camp Breakaway.
Yes, it's a real two-way street, isn't it? Your knowledge is so useful in them developing strategies to deal with the disease, and they're also helping you in putting the pieces of the puzzle together.
Right, and therein lies the true partnership. And it's been a wonderful opportunity working with the families here in Australia. We learn from them, and where we find similarities to our U.S. population, it really tells us a lot more about the syndrome and understanding how it changes as the children get older. And sometimes there may be things that may occur to us of how populations are dealt with or managed that may be important things that are breakthroughs to say, okay, physical therapy, occupational therapy, or speech therapy, these are important aspects as well. So to provide the services. And I think for these families, the biggest thing that they often need is respite, because if the child's not sleeping, the parents and family members are up as well. And that's one of the great things about Breakaway, is this is a weekend of respite where the family, where the parents are pampered and the siblings get time together, and all of the children with SMS get to meet each other. And to say it's going to be a happening time is an understatement.
Well, have a great time, Professor, on the Central Coast, and wonderful work. And I just wanted to ask you before I let you go and greet the campers, the happy campers. What's the long term prognosis for this condition, this genetic condition? What are the outcomes?
Well, the outcomes, we do know that they don't seem to die young. The oldest person I'm aware was 88, so it's a lifelong condition. That as they get older, obviously, there are needs for support for them. They generally are, as adults, an individual who still will need someone to help them in their lives because they still have cognitive impairments and functional aspects that need supports, and likely they will not live on their own as an adult, but be live with family or in a group home setting, etc.
Well, good luck with it, Smith-Magenis syndrome. Knowledge is everything. We know a little bit about it now, not nearly as much as you do, of course, having studied it from the moment that it was discovered. But it's wonderful too that, you know, it's not this arm's length thing, that the scientists, the researchers, the academics get together with the people and share the knowledge. I think it's a marvelous model for how medicine should be.
Well, I can tell you that sometimes the parents are the experts, and part of what we need to do is be good listeners and observers. And there's a lot that can be learned from the parents that can be passed on then to other families. I have been very fortunate in my career to have had the opportunity to work with these wonderful families and also to bridge between the United States here and Australia and meet some wonderful people here on your continent.
Oh, marvellous work. Great place, Camp Breakaway. You'll have a lovely day there, Anne. Don't get too tired out with all the fun.
Oh, I won't. thank you so much.
Lots of things to do there, but great work. Thanks for sharing some of your knowledge with us.
Okay. Well, thank you, Scott, for this nice call.